Happy Father's Day. Funny. Well, we are so excited to honor fathers today. We love our Heavenly Father and we love our earthly fathers. And love those that have played a role of father in our lives that might not be our, might not even be in the same home as us, but have been a mentor or father to us. And so many of those people, and I hope there's lots of those people in this church that are pouring into other people's lives. And so we're going to talk about dads today. How's that? Does that work? Is that okay? We're going to get to the Word of God. Yeah? All right. I'm going to start off with a quote from John Tyson, just because that would be pretty normal for me. He had this definition from his book on, called Intentional Fatherhood. He says this, here's my take. A man is an image bearer and son of God, entrusted with power and the responsibility to create, cultivate, care, and defend for God's glory and the good of others. Isn't that a great definition of a man? Taking that God-given authority and power and strength and using it for the good of others and the honor of the kingdom of God. An image bearer, a son of God. I love it. One thing that a father does or can do or has the charge of, let's say it like that, one thing that the father has a charge of is raising children. Man, my front row's giving me an amen this morning. I like that. You got, she's setting the bar high for you guys. So, raising a child. This is out of John Tyson's book as well. That's about the only quotes I've got out of books. A couple later, but most of the rest of it is not today. And so, I found it interesting that this, I just was reading this for this message today, and I talked last week when we were talking about the value of human life, and we were talking about in ancient Roman times how they would expose, remember that word? Expose children, and if you didn't want a kid, you know, just throw it out in the snowbank or on the street and let the dogs get it or whatever. And that was just a normal practice. That was just a part of everyday life. And so I found it really interesting that as I was reading John's book this week, found this quote, and I did not know about this practice. He said this, listen to this. The concept of raising a child comes to us from a rather intense tradition rooted in Roman culture. Children were presented before the head of the household, and if the father wanted the child, he would lift the baby up in his arms and hold him or her skyward, literally raising the child. And this meant that the baby was welcome in the home. If the man did not want the child, he would not raise him or her, but would look away and leave the baby there on the ground, and then the child was put out for what they would call exposure. That's where the term raising a child came from. Think about that. And our challenge as dads is to raise our children, right? To grab them and lift them up to the Lord. And this was a pagan, you know, this was a Roman tradition, and it was real. And if the child did not get raised, it got dead. It got sent out to the elements, unless there happened to be a Christian that would go snatch it up and save it, which was very common. So let's talk about dads today. I don't want you to get depressed in this next part, but without fathers, without dads, I'm just going to throw some stats at you. And I just grabbed some random ones, and I had pages and pages that were kind of grabbed from, I'm one of the guys that always follows the links. Like, I don't try, I pretty much am cynical because I've gotten burned too many times, and I think all of us should learn to be cynical what you read on the internet, because most of it is not true. Stop believing everything that you read. Christians, non-Christians, I mean, just everything, like, cross the board, no one's exempt. You don't get to play a Jesus card on this one. So I followed the links and found the original studies that, because there was so many stats and they were so crazy. I'm like, this can't be true. So I would find, you know, cultural for family studies and fatherhood in America, and, you know, center for, you know, man, and whatever, it would be all these different organizations, and I would go follow and I'd read the original. So as far as I didn't do every single one, but when I got halfway through the article and had followed all of them and they all went to original research from legitimate organizations, I went, wow, okay, they've collected a lot of data. So I don't have hundreds of them, but they gave all kinds of statistics about what does the data show when dads aren't around. So here's just some random ones. Children without fathers are 4 times more likely to live in poverty. Children without dads are more likely to suffer emotional and behavioral problems. Children without fathers have higher levels of aggressive behavior. Just a few more. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. Wow. 85% of all youths in prison come from a fatherless home. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. And 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. I mean, these are just, I grabbed a handful and just threw them on here. I didn't want to give many more. Even kind of halfway through this, I'm like, man, we're all going to be depressed. Like, you know, and well, what if I'm in a home where I don't have a dad? Like, man, we are the exception. You know what? With Jesus, like, these are just statistics. These are just general statistics. Isn't it cool to know that with Jesus, all things are possible? We don't have to be a statistic. But I'm just saying that left to itself, dads make a difference. Dads make a difference. Dads make a difference. So with dad, let me read a couple things. Children with involved, loving fathers are significantly more likely to do well in school, to have healthy self-esteem, to exhibit empathy and pro-social behavior, and avoid high-risk behaviors such as drug use, truancy, and criminal activity compared to children who have uninvolved fathers. Involved and uninvolved. Involved and uninvolved. Just going to leave that hang there for a second. Studies on parent-child relationships and child well-being show that father love is an important factor in predicting the social, emotional, and cognitive development and functioning of children and young adults. Lots of big words, but basically, dads, you matter. If you are there and involved, statistically, wow, like it's true, the stereotype is true. Statistically, you're going to get spit on. That's horrible. I'm sorry. Statistically, man, without dads around, it's bleak. Statistically, with dads around and involved, man, it makes such a difference. So here we go. Let's get into some scripture today. We are going to go to the book of 1 John. And I remember what my mom and dad bought me, my NIV study Bible, Life Application Study Bible, when I gave my life to the Lord in 1991, it was. And I wore that thing out. I had it underlined and marked and highlighted and written in. And I was so excited. I still have it somewhere. It's in the cupboard in there, I think. And I remember this next section of scripture that we're going to read today. And in my Bible, and in most of your Bibles, depending on how it's formatted and what version it is, it's going to read, you know, like your paragraphs. And then this is like sometimes when they quote the Psalms, or if it's an old hymn, or if it's a saying or something, it'll be kind of like skinnier and off to the side. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not in the same width as the other. And so this was one of those, and it's a saying of John's, and it was kind of moved off to the side. And I remember I had that thing circled and highlighted and whatever, and it was really cool, but I didn't really know what it means. I'm like, but I like the sound of it, and it just seems so odd. It seems so out of place. So we're going to read some verses in 1 John, and they seem, I'll just let you figure out what you think they seem as. But, you know, he's kind of good talking about all these other things. And so he starts, we're going to read, there's two screens of them, okay? So there's a verse, or a saying, and then one more screen and a saying. So it's two sets of three. So here we go. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young man, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him from the beginning. I write to you, young man, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you've overcome the evil one. And I always loved the cadence of that, and I never really knew what he's really trying to say here, and just the other, I don't know, a week ago, we were laying in bed, and I said, Marnie, what should I preach for Father's Day? Because sometimes the Holy Spirit sounds like your wife. Yep. And so, yeah, Holy Spirit had nothing that night. No. That was just for an analogy for this. But anyways, the Lord was stirring that. Even as I asked you that, this verse was like dropped into my heart. And so I couldn't remember exactly what it was talking about. So I went and I kind of studied this out. I'm like, oh, this is really good. I hope that when you leave in a couple minutes here, that you say the same thing that I said when I was studying it. If you don't, I apologize. I didn't communicate it to you well. But I think this is really good stuff. So in the book of 1 John, he's kind of covering all kinds of topics. We're talking about, I don't know if anyone ever read your Bible? 1 John, anyone ever seen the book of 1 John before? It's more towards the back. I don't know if you made it that far yet, right? It's, before Revelations, but it's talking about obeying God with our lives. It's talking about light versus darkness. Talks a lot about, you know, living in the light, living in the darkness. Talks about walking in love and not hate. You know, there's some hardcore, like just on and on, talking about if you're a true believer, you're not going to keep walking in sin. He talks, you know, earlier, if you can't say that you love God and then hate your brother and sister. I mean, he's just kind of, it's like, you know, I mean, it's a Rocky movie. Oh, Adrian. Right? He's talking about, just delicate, light little topics, like the Antichrist spirit in the world, you know, talking about overcoming the world. And like one of the verses, like, okay, so we read those set of three and a set of three. The verses right after this, after those verses 15 through 17, say this: don't love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. And for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. Whoever does the will of God lives forever. Like, this is not light stuff. It's like, come on, guys. There's an evil world out there. Don't say that you're walking in the light when you're really walking in darkness. Don't keep on living in sin when you're saying that you're a follower of Christ. Stop hating when you're saying you're supposed to be people of love. You know, like, he's just kind of, and there's some encouragement in there as well, but he's just kind of whammy, 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 whammy. A couple more of the verses, you know, a little bit later in verse John 2:26, I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. So John's going, well, hey, don't let people trick you, dear children. Do not anyone lead you. This is verse in chapter 3. Don't anyone let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Like, it's just hard hitting. Whoa, people are trying to trick you. Don't get messed up thinking that you're doing well when you're really living in darkness. Like, it's just, it's kind of a 1-2, whoa, I'm staggering. No, 3-4, whoa, okay, hold on. And then he'll say, but you're loved, whatever. And then a couple more. 1 John, I mean, it'll run you through the ringer. It's beautiful and it's amazing. And here, right in the middle of it. I mean, is this too small for you to read, but I want you to get a visual. Right in the middle of it is what, in the yellow there, what we just read, those two sets of three. Like, right in the middle, you know, right above that. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother and sister is still in the darkness. Anyone, you know, like, he's just kind of pounding it. And then the verse that we just read, don't love the world or anything in the world. But right in the middle, he takes this little reprieve. Anyone ever been to, like class? Well, you've been to school. Everyone's been to school, like in classroom, and the professor's going on and on, and you're really wanting to do well, and so you're taking notes, and you're learning. You're just like, I need a break. And finally, they're like, let's just take 5. And everyone's like, ah, oh, thank you, right? Or someone at your job, maybe you've had to learn some new things or whatever, or maybe as a parent, Marty and I have had this many, many times, where something starts out just as us talking, and then pretty soon it's, oh, yeah, well, you need to be careful when you're doing this. And like, pretty soon it's turned into a lecture. Any parent ever ended up, found yourself in an accidental lecture? A drive-by lecturing. Like, you hadn't, it came out of nowhere. You had no idea. You weren't even upset about anything. But like, and our kids will ask us, am I getting lectured? Is this, like, are we in trouble? Are we in trouble? Wait a minute. And so they'll look at each other. What did we do? We didn't even, this all started good. but you're kind of like in the middle of telling these guys, but because you just want them to do well. And you're like, man, watch this and take care of that. And like, man, you're going to wreck yourself if you, like, don't do that anymore. Like, just going on and on saying, hey, listen to me, come on. And you know, tomorrow you need to do this. And then next Thursday, you got to take care of this. Make sure the garbage is taken out. Come on. But sometimes you just stop in the middle of it and you just are like, hey, you'll get it. It's okay. You're good, right? You're good. She's never sitting in the front row again, ever. I thought she was going to make me nervous, but you're making me happy to preach today. Because you're so smiley. It's kind of this little break where John is just giving these lefts and rights, and man, I want you to do so well, but pow, look out for this, bam, you need to stop doing that. And John just takes this little reprieve right in the middle of, I mean, this is in the middle of chapter 2. So he's already written chapter 1, and now he's halfway through chapter 2, and we've got a 3, 4, 5 yet, but in the middle of it, John's like, hold on a second, I just need to tell you something. I'm writing to you because, right? Because this is a letter that they're reading. So they're reading this up in front of the church, and the church is going, oh, mackerel, right? And right in the middle, John's like, in case you forgot why I'm writing this to you, hold on, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something that you need to, the rest of this is, you need to hear this. But let me tell you something. So let's just real quick go through that. He starts with this. I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. So this is how this little, whoa, you guys look like you're getting beat up here a second. Just come here. Let me put my arm around you. And that's what John's doing right here. He's just putting his arm around them, and he's like, hold on a second. We've got more to talk about. But just take a breath. Are we good? Are you good? I'm good. You're good. All right. We're all good here. That's what John's doing. He's like, hold on, guys. Just, I've got some more heavy hitting stuff. We're going to talk about the world and the Antichrist next. But for now, just for a second, just hold on. Let me just come alongside you and let me, I got some things to tell you that you need to hear right now. Just to encourage you for a second. So he starts with this. There's three sets of three here. This is the first one of the first three. He says, I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. And what this means is the dear children here means believers. Say believer. So are you a dear child? Yes. Let's look at a couple other verses in 1 John. He says children 14 times in the book of 1 John. 1 John 3:18 says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but in actions and truth. And he says in 1 John 4:4, he says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because, right, King James says, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. That's this verse. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Come on. It's greater. So that's how he's using dear children here. So back up. He said, I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven. So as John's kind of doing this heavy hitting, comes alongside them, and he's like, hey, just for a second, just take a break from all of my yelling at you and pounding on your head or whatever. Your sins are forgiven. Come on. You're children of your Father in heaven. You're part of this family. You're part of God's family. You're free. Your slate is clean. Like he starts this little encouragement with that. So who's a dear children? Yeah, raise your hand. Come, yeah, me. Yep. I'm a dear children. Yes. Amen. Then he moves on and he says, I'm writing to you fathers because you know him who was from the beginning. I'm writing to you young men because you've overcome the evil one. So that's the end of the first set of three. We're going to skip those for now. We'll come back to them. Then he gets, so that's the first set of three of them. Dear children, fathers, young men. Seems like an odd order to me. Well, I'll let you know more about that later. But the next slide starts the second set of three. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. Now, this dear children is different than the last dear children. Our English doesn't let us know that. But since I know Greek so well, wait a minute. Since I know people that know Greek so well, they say this. Warren Wiersbe, who I love his writings, says, the little children addressed in 1 John 2:13, the one we just read, are not those addressed in 1 John 2:12. Two different Greek words are used. The second word used in 1 John 2:13 carries the idea of immature ones, or little children still under the authority of teachers and tutors. These are young Christians who have not yet grown up in Christ. Like physical children, these spiritual children know their father, but they still have some growing to do. So the first little children is, man, your sins have been forgiven. All right, everyone's on the same page. You didn't do nothing. Jesus did it. We're good. All right, because they're getting, man, you need to take out the trash. You need to clean your room. You need to change the oil on the car. You need to trim the bushes, right? They're getting spiritually. They're getting the list, man. But John's like, I think I'm getting too heavy here for you. I'm going to pull you aside, tell you that I love you, tell you some truths about your life. First, so the first thing is little children, that's everyone, your sins are forgiven. Then he goes to fathers and young men. Then he starts again and talks about the next little children is because I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. So this is the immature ones. Hey, you know the one who saved you. You know the one who is calling you. You know the one that you need to grow up into. Say, grow up. All right. Let's keep moving. So then we get to, so we're on the second set of three, and we get to this. I write to you, fathers. I write to you, fathers. Now what this is talking about, the fathers in this context are actual fathers. They can be mothers or fathers, but what it really means is the spiritually mature ones. The ones who have served Christ, who have paid the price, who have walked it out. And look at what he says. I write to you, fathers, because you know him. You know him who was from the beginning. He's saying, fathers, and he's talking to the spiritually mature, so fathers and mothers, but it's Father's Day, so we're saying fathers because that's what's in the Bible. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who's from the beginning. Well, wait a minute. Everyone, like all these people, all of the Christians know him who's from the beginning. He's saying, no, it's more than that. You know him who's from the beginning. You've walked with God. You've paid the price. So he says it in the both of these. So in verse 12 and verse 14, he says almost the exact same thing. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who's from the beginning. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who's from the beginning. You know him who's from the beginning. You've paid the price. You walk with him. Your life looks like Jesus. You have an intimate relationship with God, and you are now standing in the midst of this congregation, spiritually mature, filled with life, filled with experience, filled with wisdom, filled with stories of God's faithfulness, filled with understanding of how God moves, filled with revelation of God's word, filled with time in the secret place where God answered my prayers, filled with visions of miracles, filled with hope for the future, but understanding of the past. You fathers, you know him who's from the beginning. You know him. Fathers, you know him. You know him. Dads, you know him. You stand with knowledge upon your shoulders that you can freely give to others. You're prepared, you're equipped, you're strong. You know him. And so here's the order. So he starts with, I write to you, dear children, that's all believers. Then he talks about the fathers. Then he writes to the young men. Then in his second set, he starts with the dear children, that's the immature believers, and then fathers, and then young men. So we're going to get to the young men. Let's read this from David Guzik. Just as surely as there's little children, there are also fathers. Listen, these men and women of deep, long spiritual understanding, long spiritual standing, they have the kind of walk with God that doesn't come overnight. Come on, let me read that again. they have the kind of walk with God that doesn't come overnight. Your sins get forgiven overnight. Your walk with God doesn't come overnight. Come on, listen to me. You have instant standing with God because of what Jesus paid on the price that he paid on the cross. You do not have an instant history with God. That is built day in and day out. It's built with time on your knees. It's built with time persevering through the hard times. It's built time investing into others. Come on, dads. That kind of walk with God doesn't come overnight. These are like great oak trees in the Lord. They have grown big and strong through the years. There's no substitute for the years and years of experiential relationship with Jesus. And I find it odd that he starts with children, then he goes to fathers, and then he goes to young men. It should be children, young men, fathers. And that's always bothered me. Children, young men, fathers. Like, come on. Well, you're talking about children, and you're talking about young men, and you're talking about fathers. But what I didn't understand was the children are two different groups of people. It's not kids, and it can be kids, but he's talking about believers in one, and then he's talking about immature believers in the second one. And then he goes immediately to fathers. Because right smack dab in the center of a thriving and growing community are fathers. The stability and wisdom and foundation for the community of believers to move forward in power is the fathers. Walking in the authority and wisdom and power of God after year of service to Jesus and gaining all of that wisdom and experience. So, this is the last one of the two sets of three. I write to you, young man, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you've overcome the evil one. The young men here are not just young men. We're not just talking about, you know, Luke and Andrew and Michael, right? It's talking about people of God that are maybe not in the seasoned old wisdom, right? But you're serving Jesus. So it's basically the bulk of Christians that are not necessarily immature, but you're going after God. You're showing up week after week. You're doing the Jesus thing, okay? I'm doing the Jesus. I'm going forward. I'm going to say it, tell someone, I'm going forward. I'm walking this out. I'm living the life. I don't know if I'd be considered a spiritual father or mother, but I'm walking this out that you're a young man in this context. In this analogy, that's what John's talking about. So here's, as I'm finishing this up, hitting the point here, where there are godly fathers in a community of believers, where there are spiritual fathers that carry the heaviness of that wisdom and that anointing and that power and that presence, believers are strong. Come on, men. Where there are men of God that stand with the wisdom and the word of God in them, believers are strong. Men of God that walk with that seasoned walk with God, when they're planted in the center of our fellowship, other believers get strong. Men, you leak. Come on, in more ways than one. Take a shower. But keep strong in Jesus because you leak. It just placing you in the room changes the dynamic. Come on. There's something that cannot be reproduced. It doesn't mean it's hopeless without you, but I'm saying that with you, something changes. And that's what John is saying is, children, this, you need to know this. Come on, fathers, you got this. And then where the fathers are now, young men, you're strong. You are strong. There is a strength that we get when the seasoned men and women of God stand around us. Right? Come on. Do you know that in a two-parent home, if mom shows up every single week with the kids, brings them to church, May 1st, May 8th, I can't do any more math, May 15th, 15th, 22nd, right? but dad's not there. And he might even be supportive, but he doesn't come to church. The best statistics, and again, these are just statistics, but the best statistics on all the different studies show that about 18% of those kids will keep going to church. Let's say dad shows up and mom stays home. 66% of those kids are going to keep going to church. Two out of three. Two out of three if dad comes and mom stays home. If mom comes and dad stays home, 18%. One out of five at best. You think dads are important? Come on. When there are men of God in the room, everyone else gets stronger. Where there are godly fathers, wait a minute. Oh yeah, there's a quote. I forgot. I moved this earlier today. I'm like, wait, that's not the right slide. Old men give counsel. Young men get things done. The fathers live, listen to this. This is great wisdom here. The fathers live increasingly in the past and are custodians of the great truths, traditions, and triumphs of the church in history. The young men, however, catch the vision of wrongs to be righted, of causes to be espoused, of the harvest fields to be reaped, of worlds to be conquered, of foes to be routed in battle. And that works when there's men of God standing in the midst, bringing the wisdom and strength of all those years. Not that you're exempt from doing the work, right? But you're moving into a different position. And you're bringing something to the table that is undeniably powerful. All right, the next one. When there are godly fathers, the word of God lives in believers. I write to you, young man, because the word of God lives in you. The word of God lives in you. We've talked about it already this morning. You know a verse? Great. You're in good company. So does the devil. But is the word of God alive in you? Is it rooted in you? Is it changing your life? Where there are men of God that have walked out a lifetime of walking with Jesus and going through the hard times and carrying the word of God in them, guess what? Other believers get the word of God living in them. That's what John's saying. I write to you, young man, because the word of God lives in you. Because the rest of us Christians that are like, I'm doing the Jesus thing, I'm walking forward, we look at these men of God and we're like, I see the word of God living in them. I don't want it to live in me like that. You might not say it exactly like that, but that's what happens. It comes alive in you because you see it in them. It's men of God that carry this mantle that just leaks out into other people. What makes a young man become a father? Ray Stedman says, the word of God abiding in him. That's the secret of growth. That is what will move him from one stage to another until at last he becomes a father, able to reproduce himself in others. Spiritual fathers, you're out, you're pouring into others and you're reproducing the work of God that's in you, in them. It's absolutely impossible to grow up as a Christian or as a real man or woman unless the word of God abides in you. The last one of this that John is going through, he says, where there's godly fathers, people overcome the evil one. There is an overcoming that's built in when there's dads in the room, when there's fathers, when there's men of God that have paid the price and walked out the walk with God. We get to see a greater proportion of people overcoming. There's victory in the house when the men of God are standing. When the men of God are showing up, there's more people overcoming. There's more addictions broken. There's more mindsets that are unhealthy that are broken off of people's lives. There's more breakthrough. There's more overcoming the evil one. There's less getting sucked into the vortex of society because the men of God, the oaks of righteousness, are standing there. Come on, Lord of the Rings. Do you remember when the two towers fell? Right? You remember when the flood came, the oaks and the beech, the tree ants, right? Yeah, the ants came and they were breaking down the dam because they were going to kill all the orcs, right? And they stood there and all the hobbits jumped in these trees and they would have been swept away. Men of God, you've got the capacity in the flood of the world to be shelter and oaks of righteousness. For those energetic little buggers of us that want to go out and conquer the world, but sometimes we're getting caught up in something that we don't need to be, we need you to put your branches around us and say, come on, little bugger, hang in here. You're not getting caught up in the flood today. Because we're here. We're standing. And you're not getting swept up in this. You're going to overcome. You might feel weak today, but you're going to be strong tomorrow. Come on. You're not bowing, you're not breaking, you're not bending. The oaks are here. The men of God are here to stand. You got to do the work. Come on, I can't do it for you, but I can stand as one who's gone before you. And I can tell you it's going to work out. I can tell you it's going to be all right. I can tell you that it's worth it. I can tell you that Jesus is faithful. So my challenge today is, come on, man, we need you. And then John goes back to hit no more of the head again, but he just stops in the middle. He's like, come, fathers, when you show up, life is different. When you show up, this little group of believers changes. When you do your thing, and you might not think you're doing much of a thing, but your thing is a thing. When you're just being faithful, when you're just loving people, I'm not out changing the world. Come on, Dad. But you're walking with Jesus and you're showing up and you're doing the stuff. You're being faithful. You've got wisdom. You've got years of experience. You've got a mantle that rests upon you. Pour into others. Pray for us. Guard us. Help us to not get caught up in the flood of the world. Help us to be overcomers. We need you. Amen? God, I just pray for our dads today. I pray that the young dads who are young men, who are ambitious and zealous and who have decided to do this Jesus thing, that we would grow up and that we would ourselves become fathers spiritually, that we would pour into others and reproduce. I pray that the spiritual fathers that are here today, God, would be encouraged. Lord, that they would know how necessary that they are. And I just pray that the power of Christ would encourage and comfort and strengthen the spiritual fathers in this place, the mentors, those who have stepped in the place, those who are maybe not even in the same home but are coming alongside of others. And we just thank you, God, that you are doing something powerful in their lives. Thank you for the men of God that reside here. I bless them today and their families and their friends in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen.